making our way through Arizona Saturday morning, right here at Rosie on the House. Glad you're tuned in. Today, this hour, we're talking about the Santa Fe style home, the territorial style home, the Pueblo style home. It's generally smooth stucco with parapets and wooden vigas, either as structural load-bearing members or as decorative accents. Sometimes those are laced with smaller diameter peeled poles called vigas or latillas. And then once you've added those, you've only doubled the amount of maintenance that you have to have on this style home. But it's authentic. And, you know, we talk about it being high maintenance. It is mimicked after the Taos Pueblo style. That's over 1,000 years old. We have similar examples of it here in Arizona. Up on the Navajo and Hopi Reservation, up on Third Mesa, is a settlement called Oribe. And, Romy, did you know Oribe, Arizona, is the oldest continuously inhabited settlement in North America?
North America?
In North
wow.
America.
I did not.
So right here, Oribe. And it's all pretty much done in this particular style of architecture.
There's been a lot of articles about the Navajo Nation in the news lately because there are homes just now for the first time getting electricity.
Oh, wow.
There's still communities up there that have no electricity to their home, and they just powered like 300 new homes for the first time ever.
Wow. Just as they're getting ready to close the electric plant.
Can't see you wait. Yeah. They have the new rate plans, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and they got the new rate plans. There's an irony in all this, Gary, but I'm not sure what it is. Oh,
that's why there's a need for more than one source of electricity.
Yeah.
We got our, not aquatic, hydraulic.
Yeah.
Is the correct term. The hydraulic, the natural gas, the nuclear, the solar, wind. All key factors.
All key factors. So if you'd like to join the conversation and get ideas from us on how to take care of your territorial home, Jennifer, my wife, is in the call screener room, and she'll take your call at 1-888-767-4348. Daniel has called and has a question about elastomeric paint. Let's see if we can take that real quick, and then we'll get back to talking the different categories of maintenance you need to have identified for your home. Daniel, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Love the show.
Thanks.
I was just calling. I've heard you mention a few times that you didn't care for elastomeric paint, and I was just wondering why.
It's
well,
too good.
where in Arizona are you, Daniel?
I'm in Green Valley.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. The problem we have discovered with elastomeric paint, number one, 95% of the time, it's not installed per manufacturer's guidelines. It has to be put on so thick. It has to be put on as thick or thicker than a credit card. And the dilemma with it, Daniel, is if you're painting a stucco wall with elastomeric paint, you're basically putting an impervious raincoat over the top of your house. And as you go up the wall, sooner or later, you're either going to hit a parapet or you're going to hit some bird blocking or wood of a dissimilar material than the stucco. And however you treat that joint now becomes the most critical waterproofing issue of the entire house. Because once you've put a waterproof raincoat over the top of your house, if any place at all develops the least little bit of crack and moisture gets in, it's now trapped inside. And what we saw through the 80s and the 90s, as builders began experimenting with this elastomeric paint, is the water would get in, it would get underneath the elastomeric paint, and then the sun would come back out, and it would literally steam the paint off the surface, and you'd have these big sagging teardrop shaped bubbles hanging off the wall. And I can tell you, we made a fair amount of money in the 70s installing elastomeric paint and in the 80s. But Daniel, we made 10 times more money in the 90s tearing elastomeric paint off the houses. We thought it was a good idea. It obviously proved us wrong. And using it requires such particular attention to detail, and it's almost and then you're putting it on as a way to defer maintenance and eliminate maintenance, but you have to become so vigilant at checking every place that elastomeric paint hits a barge rafter or a bird block or top of a parapet that it really becomes almost more work than if you would have just installed a good 100% acrylic exterior paint. Now, the exception, which I mentioned earlier this hour, is we do use a lot of elastomeric coating on roofs and horizontal surfaces, and it works fine there. I just don't like it as your primary source of weather protection on horizontal walls. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I've just been curious as why I've heard you mention that you didn't like it. I noticed that Home Depot and Lowe's and them sell it. I was just wondering. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Okay, man. Appreciate the phone call.
Not liking it is probably something we need to maybe reword the way we change it. We don't like it for a painting application on the exterior of your home. We use it a lot.
We use it a lot.
When we're fixing cracks, we use it a lot on our roof coatings for flat roof to protect foam. It's a great product and has a lot of great applications. It's just not the exterior paint of your home. It should not be elastomeric base. It should be acrylic, acrylic.
And if you read the directions, I believe the specification is no less than 40 or 50 mils, and that's the thickness of a credit card. And generally speaking, it's not going on that thick, so it's compromised from the very first day. Having said that, I can tell you we have seen jobs installed completely according to the manufacturer's spec that have failed miserably. So exterior painting, 100% acrylic exterior paint, is the right way to seal up your stucco.
And Arizona Paint, for the first time with the newest development of Sherwin-Williams paints, are offering 10-year warranties.
That's right.
Up to this date have just been unheard of. Now, you could get away with letting your paint job go a lot longer than that, but when you come back to paint it, the paint is so far gone, the amount of... in some cases, they've got to be reprimed, which you shouldn't have to if you're keeping up with doing it more currently. The amount of color fading, the amount of cracking, I mean, it will go a lot longer. It's just going to look horrible and create a more expensive job when you finally get to it.
And a good exterior acrylic paint is the raincoat that you want on your house. And at the point the UV rays have cooked all the polymers and the color out of the paint, stucco is not waterproof. It's a sponge. So you've got to keep fresh paint on a stucco house. We have generally said every 7 to 8 years. Now Arizona Paint Company has stretched that out with their 10-year warranty. But they're the only ones I know that are doing that. So you have to be careful. Don't let your paint go that long. So one of the things about a territorial home is when you look at stucco, you see the really rough stucco on a lot of houses. We call that skip trowel, okay? And it's very, very porous. When we're doing a Santa Fe finish, when we're doing a territorial finish, we're actually using a steel trowel to apply the brown coat, and we're rubbing her out smooth, almost like we're finishing concrete on a slab, which raises the cement to the cement cream up to the surface and actually creates a bit more waterproofing than just a quick skip trowel texture. Then we finish that with a sponge rubber float and sand, a sand finish, Santa Fe finish. They're pretty much, unless you want a smooth Santa Fe finish, but generally it's a sand finish. And that's the perfect surface for putting the 100% acrylic exterior paint on, and you'll get 7-8 years out of it easily. It's fairly easy to paint because you're not having to cut in around a bunch of bird blocking and bar drafters and all that stuff. You just slap it on there, spray and back roll, and you're done. You can get her done quick. But that smooth Santa Fe finish does have a bit more water-resisting characteristics to it than that super rough skip trowel texture that's just put on with a lot of sand quickly.
A key element is how fast the wall system can shed your water. And yes. When it's rough, it slows down the water extremely effectively. A smooth sand finish, I mean, you could just see the water pouring off of it in a good monsoon. And it's pretty easy to see that that's a better system for stucco. And it looks better, you know, I think.
The smooth finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I do like some imperfections. Kind of adds a little bit more character and authenticity. But I'm not talking, you know, going back over with the
skip trowel.
Yeah.
Well, another mistake we made in the industry when we were building these territorial homes is it was by code we had to have the plaster weep screed on the outside of the stem wall. And when you're trying to do a smooth finish on a house, that weep screed kind of looks obnoxious. And so we then moved the exterior walls inside of the stem wall by an inch. And we put the drip screed at the bottom of that framing on top of the stem wall. And then we just plastered all the way down to the footing. So you just saw one neat, clean finish without that horizontal line. Well, it wasn't but a year or two after we were doing that. And I'm saying we in the industry, everybody was doing it. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. But we moved that weep screed in on top of the stem wall. Well, when we did that, we moved the water inside on top of the stem wall to get all over the baseboard and the trim and the flooring itself. So we had to come back and fix all that as well. So if you're in love with the territorial style home, I'm not here to try and talk you out of it. I'm just here to try and tell you, you're going to have to pay attention. The more exposed wood you have in the way of viga tails, in the way of headers above your doors and your windows, the smoother the stucco is, you're going to have to be vigilant to keep the house watertight. I'm going to finish with this. In all the remodeling I've done, and I think we tried to add it up about 6 months ago. Well, it was before that because it was before the accident. We think me and my company have done something in the neighborhood of $150 million worth of remodeling over the last 30 years. I've never torn a territorial home open that didn't have some moisture damage on the outside walls. I rest my case.
Now, the final segment of this topic, we're going to go interior. If you have seen our blog, we've got what I think is a proper application for wood. I'm critical of wood, and I think people think I don't like that at all. That's not true. As a structural part of the home, I don't think that's a proper application and how we should be using it. But when you look at this on the decorative beams and woodwork and furnishings inside, that's where your wood's supposed to
be,
on the interior. Is that not beautiful?
That's handsome, really handsome.